Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
We all like prizes or awards, and the Lord knows that. So He's given us all incentives. The Lord Jesus said in Revelation 22:12, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to render to each one as his work is." Paul told us that he has a crown of righteousness waiting for him as a reward because he kept the faith. The Lord Jesus is coming back and he will have his reward with him. So stay tuned with us today as we talk about the incentive to the inoculator. This is Matt Miller and Ed Marks for the Life Study of 2 Timothy program number 7. Ed, thanks for taking the time to fellowship over this important topic.
Yeah, Matt, just to let our listeners know, the title of this program is The Incentive to the Inoculator. And what we mean by that is that this whole book of 2 Timothy is, the subject is the inoculation against the decline of the church. And what Paul desired for Timothy is that when the church is declining, when the church is being degraded, you need to be an inoculator. You need to inoculate the brothers and sisters in the church with the truth concerning God's heart's desire, with Christ as life and the life supply. You need to inoculate them with what they need, kind of like spiritual food and spiritual antibiotics, so that they would come out of this degradation. And Matt, what we'll see today, as you said, we'll see the incentive for a person who functions as an inoculator. And that incentive is to be rewarded by the Lord in the coming kingdom. Eventually, there will be an award day in this universe. You know, I think all of us, we look at the Olympics and we see the medals being given out. That's a very awesome thing. But it says in 2 Corinthians 5:10 that all the believers will appear before the judgment seat of Christ and will either be rewarded or there might be some chastisement. And we don't want to be chastised by the Lord. We want to be rewarded by Him and with Him in the next age. So that's what this program is about.
Thanks, Ed. That'll be the ultimate awards banquet. As believers, we should be looking forward to that and not fear it. Ed, let me read the verse and then we'll get into Witness Lee speaking. 2 Timothy 4:1, "I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom." Let's join Witness Lee for speaking from December 1980.
Chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Paul says, "I charge you solemnly before God and before Christ, who is about to judge the living and the dead, and by what? By His appearing and His kingdom." Timothy, you have to know, whatever you do, whatever you be today, it has much to do with the Lord's appearing and the Lord's kingdom. Shall you be appraised by the Lord at His appearing, or be rebuked? Shall you receive a reward or a kind of a chastisement when He comes? Shall you be considered qualified to participate in His divine kingship in the 1,000 years, or shall you be rejected from that? You have to consider. So I charge you by His appearing and kingdom is not a small matter. We all have been saved, but how do we live our Christian life? How do we fulfill our Christian duty? How do we take care of God's New Testament economy? How do we have the proper church life, the body life, to express God in Christ through the Spirit? This will decide our future at the time of His appearing, and especially in the coming kingdom. Don't listen to those superstitious, even superficial teaching that tells you as long as you got saved, there'll be no problem. I tell you, you will have a big problem. Every saved believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged by Him, not for salvation or for perdition, but for reward or punishment. This is solemn. So He says, I solemnly charge you. You have to consider this.
Ed, this is a solemn charge, just as the Apostle Paul said it was in verse 1. This solemn charge was by Christ's appearing and His kingdom. What's the significance of this for us believers?
Yes, Matt, when we look at something like this, we need to realize that for an unbeliever, you know, the unique sin is not to believe in the Lord Jesus. If you look at John 3:36, it says, if you believe into the Son, you have eternal life. If you don't believe into Him, that's considered disobedience, and the wrath of God will abide on you. But once we believe into the Lord and we receive Him as our life and Savior, we need to realize as believers that doesn't mean that everything's okay with us. This is why Paul charged Timothy, who is a believer in such a solemn way, by the Lord's appearing and by the Lord's kingdom. When he charged us in such a solemn way by the Lord's appearing, what he was saying is that when the Lord comes back, we are going to have to answer to Him for how we fulfilled our duty as Christians, how we invested the life that He put inside of us. And Matt, you can see this in Matthew 25 with those different slaves who were given certain talents from the Lord. The Lord says to some of the slaves, well done, good and faithful slave.
Right.
And then to the slave who is a believer, who didn't, you know, endeavor to pursue Christ, gain Christ, and minister Christ to others, He calls him an evil and slothful slave. The good and faithful slave gets rewarded by the Lord. The evil and slothful slave experiences some chastisement. And we need to realize that this is the case with us as believers. In 1 Corinthians 3, if you look at verse 14, Paul says, if you're working for the Lord and what you've ministered of Christ, if it's something eternal, if it's gold, silver, and precious stones, which signifies, you know, God the Father in His nature, God the Son in His redeeming work, and God the Spirit in His transforming work, if what we minister is not something of our natural life, something out of our flesh, something without Christ as life in it, then we'll be rewarded by the Lord. It says we will receive a reward. But verse 15, this is 1 Corinthians 3. It says, if anyone's work is consumed, he will suffer loss. He will be saved, yet so as through fire. That means you will be eternally saved. But Paul says, as through fire, which means there'll be some discipline. So Matt, we need to realize in our Christian life, we want to hear the Lord when He comes back and when we appear before Him. We want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful slave, not evil and slothful slave. If you go to 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says in verse 9, and I really love this portion, Paul says that he aspired, he determined to gain the honor of being well-pleasing to Christ. Then in verse 10, he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That indicates that as believers, we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So we need to determine in this life to be well-pleasing to Him. And if you look at 2 Corinthians 5, Matt, I love this. Paul says later in the chapter, in verse 14, he says, the love of Christ constrains us to live to the Lord, not to live according to ourselves. So every day, we need to say, Lord, I give myself to you. I open to you. Constrain me with your love. I like to be filled with you as the life-giving Spirit. And I want you to live yourself through me. I want to gain you and be filled with you. And I want to minister you to others. If we take care of that, we'll experience the Lord as our reward in the next age. So this is what this whole passage is about.
That's a big help, Ed. Thanks for sharing that. I'm glad you went into as much detail as you did. Let's go on now to verse 2, okay, and 3, and I'll read that first. Proclaim the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convict, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not tolerate the healthy teaching. But according to their own lusts, they will heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. Let's go on to Witness Lee.
Verse 2 says, praise the word. Tell me, what word? No doubt, up to this point, after the two books, the word simply means the healthy word of the truth, which is the real contents of God's New Testament economy. Praise this word. Not just praise a word telling people to be saved, going to heaven, out of hell, and so forth, but the word that can complete God's revelation concerning Christ and the church. Praise this word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, not only praise. Sometimes you have to reprove, you have to rebuke, you have to exhort with all long-suffering and with all teaching. For the time will come when they, who are they? The ones who carried in the decline. They will not tolerate healthy teaching, but according to their own lust, they will heap up to themselves teachers tickling their ear. Witness, this teaching doesn't tickle any ear. Nearly just outreach. A very surgery on the dumb ear. They like ticklers. They like ticklers. This is today's situation. They heap up teachers, and they will turn away their ear from truth.
Ed, we've got another sobering word here. What kind of ear do we have? What kind of ear do our listeners have? I suppose if they're listening to the program, they probably don't have an itching ear for the unhealthy teaching like he's talking about. But because if they do, Witness Lee's ministry isn't going to itch anyone's ears. It tickled the ears. It's going to operate on their ears. I know it's done that to my ear. How about your ears?
Absolutely, Matt. And when Paul mentions this about having itching ears, what he's referring to is ears that seek pleasant speaking for their own pleasure. So we need to beware of this as believers. The Lord does take care of us. He supplies us with all that he is to meet our every need. He takes care of us materially. He takes care of us physically. He transforms us in our psychological being. And of course, he lives in our spirit. So he takes care of us. But we aren't here on this earth for our own pleasure and for our own benefit. We need to be believers who consecrate ourselves to carry out God's good pleasure and his heart's desire on this earth. And Matt, when we talk about this, Brother Lee mentioned the term God's economy. We need to live on the earth for God's economy. There's a number of verses that use this word. I would just mention one passage from 1 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 4, where Paul tells Timothy, he tells Timothy to charge certain ones not to teach differently from God's economy. This indicates that God's economy is the teaching in the New Testament. Now, this Greek word economy, it's translated different in different translations. But the Greek word is oikonomia. It's where we get the word economy. The Greek word oikonomia, oikos means house, and nomos means law or administration. So God's economy is his household administration. And we can see from the whole New Testament that God's economy, his household administration, or you can say his household plan, is to dispense himself in Christ as the Spirit into his chosen and redeemed people, to regenerate them in their spirit, to transform them in their mind, will, and emotion, and eventually to spread into their mortal body so that they're glorified. And when we are enjoying the triune God dispensing himself in Christ as the Spirit into our being, then we're built up to be the church as the body of Christ. This is God's economy. And consummately, the body of Christ consummates in us being the bride of Christ, the wife of Christ, which is the New Jerusalem. So we need to be those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches. And what the Spirit is speaking is he wants God's heart's desire to be carried out in us. And the way we can do that practically every day is to open to the Lord for his filling. This is why we spend time with the Lord every day, personal time, where we can pray over the Word and feed on the Word so that he can dispense himself into our being. And by that dispensing, we're built up to be the church. We're prepared to be his bride. This brings him back. You know, Matt, in the book of Galatians, in chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Paul says that when Christ comes into us, he says, it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. That's what makes God happy, to reveal his Son in us. When Christ comes in us, inside of us, and when we see him, like on this broadcast, we want to see Christ in a fresh way.
Amen.
That's what makes him happy. But Christ isn't just in us. If you go to Galatians 2:20, Paul wants Christ to live in us. He says, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So we need to allow him to live in us every day. Finally, in Galatians 4:19, he tells the Galatians, I am in travail that Christ would be formed in you. So Christ is revealed in us. Then we need to allow him to live in us. Then we need to allow him to be formed in us. And that's us being transformed, conformed to his image, so that he can be expressed through us as the church, and we become his built-up body. This is what we're on the earth for. If you want to be a happy Christian and be filled with joy, just live in this divine dispensing every day to enjoy him for the building up of the body. This is God's good pleasure.
And those are healthy words, Ed. Appreciate you sharing that. Let's go on to the concluding word in verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, with which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day. And not only me, but also all those who have loved his appearing. Let's go to Witness Lee now for the conclusion of today's life study.
And they will turn away their ear from truth. Now, what is truth? Christ and the church. They turn away from this.
Amen.
They use the name of Christ. They abuse the name. And they misuse the name church. They turn away from the truth and will be turned aside to fables. They like fables. Failing the teeth, lending the lies, all the fables. They like to hear these. They like to hear dream tiding. But you be sober in all things, suffer evil, do the work of an evangelist, and this evangelist not just preaching the death of Christ, but preaching the entire Bible, the New Testament economy of God. Fully accomplish your ministry, for I am ready, being poured out. That means as a drink offering. And the time of my departure is at hand. He was happy. He was triumphant. He shouted, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Hallelujah. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me in that day, not only to me, but also to all those who loved his appearing. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you see, the incentive is here. A crown of righteousness will be awarded to you and me if we be faithful to the healthy word of the truth. If we would be faithful inoculators to carry out all the divine ingredients to inoculate today's Christians, that they may be rescued back to the full knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is a reward awaiting us. We all will receive a crown of righteousness if we would be faithful to the Lord's ministry. Whatever he has told us through his ministry, we have to be faithful. Then we'll be encouraged and we will receive a reward.
Ed, this is wonderful. I just want to know, how can we be these faithful inoculators?
Matt, I really love this term, faithful inoculator. I think we all need to go to the Lord and really pray and say, Lord, by your mercy, constitute me into a faithful inoculator who will be filled with you, enjoy you supremely every day, have personal and intimate contact with you, and minister you into others so that they would be inoculated against the decline and they would be overcoming believers. This is the reason why we've been saved and why we're living on the earth. I'd just like to point out two things, Matt. You know, Paul says, I'm already being poured out. Actually, if you look in Philippians 2:17, what Paul is referring to here is that he was a drink offering. And in the Old Testament, a drink offering was kind of a supplemental offering. And the typology here indicates that we need to be filled with Christ every day as the heavenly wine, so that we become a drink offering to God. We become wine to God. We become someone who's living on this earth for God's satisfaction and God's good pleasure. You know, Matt, if we're going to be like this, we need to spend time with the Lord every day. I would just encourage our listeners, begin every day, spend some time with the Lord in the Word and in prayer. Have a personal time with the Lord where you contact Him, where you open to Him, where you're filled with Him. Then when you're filled with Him in a fresh way throughout the day, you can call on His name. You can tell Him that you love Him. You can converse with Him throughout the day about all the things of your daily life. And then you'll have something to minister of Christ to others. And this is what builds up the body. This makes us a faithful inoculator. You'll notice, Matt, that in verse 8, Paul said, He will reward me with the crown of righteousness in that day, but not only me, but also all those who love His appearing. We need to be those who love His appearing. His appearing is His second coming. But Matt, if we're going to love and look for His second coming as believers, that means we have to be very intimate with the Lord. We have to have a loving, personal, intimate, affectionate relationship with Him that's cultivated day by day by our spending time in prayer, by our contacting Him throughout the day, and by having a time like this. We're looking to the Lord that we would reign with Him for 1,000 years, and eventually we'll be His wife, the New Jerusalem, for eternity.
Ed, all I can do is say amen. I really appreciate you coming in and doing this program with me today. We've run out of time, so we're going to have to stop, but thanks for coming in.
You're welcome, Matt. I'm looking forward to coming back again for another broadcast.
I'm looking forward to that, too. And I'm looking forward to you also joining us when we come back to conclude the life study of 2 Timothy on a very positive note. On behalf of Ed Marks, this is Matt Miller. Thank you for listening today.